that you and I, like we're going to find out for the next 6 weeks in the book of Colossians, are transformed by grace. We're changed by grace. I want to read to you something that we were blessed to be able to stumble upon and put together, and this is amazing, so listen close. God's grace not only saves us, but also shapes us into his holy people. And it impacts every area of our lives. In the book of Colossians, we get to see how being united with Jesus means letting his holiness guide our everyday lives. Be holy as I'm holy, he said. This reflects his character, and it allows his transformative grace to change our relationships, to change our values, to change our actions. By embracing our identity in Christ, we become holy, holy, embodying his grace in a world that desperately needs to see it. You see this picture before you of a car. Half of it's transformed and half of it needs to be worked on. And it's totally photoshopped, so good for you. That's how we feel sometimes, though, don't we? Partially done. Mostly done. I wish I could be done. We're in the process of being transformed. But by his grace, you have been taken, as we're going to read today, from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. From death to life. That's who Jesus is, and that's what he's done. You're going to see for the next 6 weeks some video testimonies of people in your community here. We're going to start with one right now. If you're online, you're going to hear it. But if you were here, you could see it. Okay. Go ahead.
Being transformed by grace, my sins have been forgiven. I've been made new. His grace has transformed me with his forgiveness, instilling my faith in him. His grace has brought me out of some dark places and into the light. God's grace in my daily life looks like patience, still strong, enduring, is not challenging for me. Maybe in the past it was, but not anymore. It's not challenging one bit. Nothing in my life could make me doubt God's grace. There's been some very, very challenging dark times, and once I put my faith into that grace and understood that grace and the forgiveness of my sins, transformed my life totally. My name is Steve Wilson, and I've been transformed by grace.
Man. I'm just looking around. I know he wasn't feeling too good. I don't think he's physically here. So, transformed by grace, to be changed, to be something different, to be something that you weren't, something that you wanted to be. You're going to see that so much in this series. And you're going to see other people sharing their stories. Maybe you've got a story. One time when I was at Cascade Community Church, we did this thing where we gave people, like, I can't remember how many people got it, but a group of people got $50 to go and invest in some way for the kingdom of God. And we had, like, people up front lined out, and they had 50s, and we're handing them out. And this lady was, like, three deep when they ran out of money. And she's like, oh, I wanted a 50. And I'm like, what were you going to do with it? And she goes, well, I've got some ideas. I wanted to buy some, you know, non-allergenic crayons for children's hospital and all this kind of stuff. And then she goes like this, I have $50. I have that kind of money in my bank account. And she went and did it. And these other people are like, oh, yeah, I can do it too. And kind of stirred up this movement. It was really, really cool, and I think it's still going on to this day. You guys, we're going to talk about a big word, preeminent. Maybe you've heard the word eminent. Eminent means like important. Maybe you've even heard in, you know, movies or you've seen in the Catholic Church or whatever, your eminence, which means your importance. Well, preeminence means even bigger than that. It really means, and it's the title of today's message, Jesus is before all things. Jesus is preeminent. He's awesome in every way. You guys, nobody's bigger than him. When we hear that he was before all things, that's exactly what it means. Before everything. He spoke the world into existence, created as a human, but as God, he's always been. And so when you hear Jesus is before all things right here at the beginning of the message, I want to encourage you that you're going to see that all the way through the book of Colossians. Let's talk about that super quick as well. Colossae. Can you put that name up there for me, dear friend? Colossae. I don't know if you guys understand this or recognize this, but the name Colossae is the name of a town. And that's where we get the book Colossians from. And Colossae was in Turkey. You guys remember, Paul just read out of the book of Revelation, there are seven different churches that were talked about, and those seven churches were in Turkey. Colossae was a small town. It wasn't big. It used to be a hub, and now it just kind of fell apart. And at that point, I guess I should say, it started falling apart. Ephesians was bigger. There was a guy that came to Christ in Ephesus, and he's like, I need to share the good news of Jesus with my people. His name was Epaphras, and his people lived in Colossae, which was a small town, and he went there, and likely he was the one that started the church there. We're going to see that Paul writes to this church, and Paul is this apostolic leader. He's an amazing missionary, pastor, theologian. He'd never physically been to this church, but he writes a letter to them to encourage them and to warn them and to remind them. And to encourage them is not the best way to say it. It was to inspire them to remember that they were transformed by grace. And when people come in to tell you the bad news, or they tell you that you're too small, or they tell you that you're not Jewish enough, or they tell you that you're not Jesus enough, or that your Jesus actually isn't enough, they're wrong. Jesus is enough. He is before all things. He's preeminent. He's superior. He's perfect. And he's awesome. But Colossae had lost sight of that a little bit. And their little town started to go downhill. And I wanted to tell you something that I stumbled upon this week. There's this idea that all those churches in Turkey were the hotbed and the foundation of Christianity in what we would know as Asia and then the rest of the world coming out of Jerusalem. To this day, most of Turkey is what's called a UPG, an unreached people group. I'm going to read to you the definition of unreached people group so you can know and you can be praying. Unreached people groups, or UPGs, exist around the world where there's no indigenous communities of believers. A people group is considered unreached when there are less than or equal to 2% of the population professing Christ in that area. They're of significant importance for the good news because they do not have readily available access to the good news of Jesus Christ. I find this super challenging because Turkey had so many Christians. Now, I don't know if you guys, we're having problems, so I'll just read this to you. There are 57 unreached people groups that live in Turkey right now. That means 99.2% of Turkey's whole population live without the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some Christians there, but not very many. And they have a chance to be reached with what they had already known. And I think of our little town, I think of this building. This building has been here, This particular building has been here for almost 80 years. That building has been here for 120-something years. Well, it started down there and got moved here. Christianity has been in this area for a long time. Would you look at Sultan and say, that's a hotbed for Christianity? We have people that park in our parking lot and walk across the street to go get drugs. We've got people who are afraid of this place because they've been told how bad they are, and they've been told they are hated. We've got people that don't want to come here because they're convicted. We got somebody sitting here right now that sat here in 1970 and it was pews and they were uncomfortable and he'd had enough. You're welcome, Tommy, that we have nicer chairs. But he's seen Jesus and his life has been transformed by grace. You guys, I got to get to it. I'm going to try to get after just how profound Jesus is in the midst of everything. But maybe just like this shirt, you can in the background be thinking, Jesus, period. The whole time we're in this, that he's just awesome. He's behind everything. He's got it figured out. Some of you need to hear that this very second. Will you join me in the book of Colossians? And as you're joining me in the book of Colossians, I want to pray for Turkey. Jesus, Turkey has been inhabited by all kinds of different people groups that don't know you. Namely, there's been very, very strong jihadist type Muslim activity. There are people that are far from you. There are people that are very opposed to anything that isn't the Islamic faith and animism and just a bunch of different things. But you have a foundation there. You have transformed that area before, and I believe you can do it again. I believe you can do that in our country, and we desperately need it. Jesus, we pray for these unreached people groups that somebody who is from there, somebody who's from that group of people would be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ and would actually share the good news, maybe even at the cost of their lives. To see people know you and believe you and follow you and be saved before they die. Oh, Jesus, may we not be comfortable unless you're comforting us. And may we not allow affliction to mess with us, but may we be strong and courageous, and may we let it be contagious. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Come on, I see you. Oh, nice, Ronnie. All right, Colossians 1, 1 through 2. This is where we're going to start. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I am this guy's apostle by the will of God, he says. And Timothy, who we just spent 6 weeks looking at him, our brother. This is who's writing it. Paul and Timothy. To the saints, that's the called out ones. Please don't get it twisted. This isn't they deserved it, earned it somehow. They were called out, made holy, made new. These are saints and faithful brothers and sisters are the same thing. There isn't super Christians and then, oh yeah, the brothers and sisters. It's the same definition of the same group of people. Excuse me, two different definitions, same group of people. This is written to the saints and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. I don't have a ton of time to unpack this morning, but just could you really quick say grace and peace to your neighbor? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Now, it's not from you. Say it like it's from, actually just say grace and peace from the Father. Woo, those go together so very nicely. The grace of God, which you can't earn or deserve, gives you the peace of God, which you can't earn or deserve, but you desperately need. The shalom with God, the oneness with God, grace and peace from the Father. He's reminding Christians. Grace and peace. Now we're moving on to Galatians. Nice. I'm going to do it again. I do Galatians and Colossians at the same time in my head. And it comes out Colossians. I'm making stuff up. All right. Colossians 1, 3 through 8. I want you to be looking for some really cool things that you can take home and live out by the grace of God. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. I love how faith and love go together as well. It's so beautiful. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Remember, we were a mess, as Paul talked about. God sent his son Jesus to cleanse us and to purify us by his own blood. Jesus lived a perfect life, died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, gave his spirit to those that would believe in him. They would be saved. This is the gospel. And you've had hope because you believed it. The word of truth, the gospel. Verse 6 says, this gospel has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit and increasing. I will say, I don't disagree with what Paul was saying. This world is falling apart. Do you know that people are getting saved every day in this world? Do you know that the increase of the fruit of the kingdom is happening in this world? And did you know that this world falls apart to the point where it gets destroyed and restored the way it was supposed to be? We are about to have elections. We are about to look at the chicken little world is falling apart. The sky is falling, and none of that thing is probably actually that far from the truth. But you hear it from people who are Democrats and people who are Republicans, people who are pro-life and people who are pro-choice. The world's going to fall apart unless the right candidate gets voted in. Hallelujah, because no matter who's in the White House, Jesus is on the throne. Write it down, that's good. This is the good news. Do we get to vote and try to see Christian values, not some weird political alignment between America and Jesus, but like Jesus, period. Can you vote accordingly? Yeah, you better. You do forfeit the chance to whine and complain, which, boy, do we love to do, if you don't at least try. But I don't know if you know this or not, but whoever wins, if you're in Jesus, you've already won. The king is on the throne, and he cannot be unseated. Walk in that grace and that truth, that faith and that love. Holy smokes, I'm in trouble. Reel it back in. Colossians 1, 3 through 8. I'm at 7. Thank you. I am. I was just looking. I was like, no, I'm not. All right. So this gospel, which has come to you, as indeed is in the whole world and is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth. It's changing you. It's bearing fruit. It's doing in the world. It's still doing it in you. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And he's made known to us your love in the Spirit. You guys, I want to give you like a takeaway. I want to give you guys something that you can put together and that you can do something with, and it comes literally from what we just read. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because that's the number of completion, and it just worked out that way. But I have 7 things for you to be according to the grace of God coming off of this, and this is just in the middle of the message. I'm giving you a takeaway right now. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be prayerful. Be loveful. Now, you think that's a made-up word. I looked it up. It's archaic. It no longer is used, but it means be loving or lovable. So, be full of thanks, be full of prayer, be full of love. Be hopeful. Be truthful. Be fruitful. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, You are to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Bear fruit, fruit that lasts. And finally, be faithful. So, be thankful, be prayerful, be loveful, be hopeful, be truthful, be fruitful, be faithful. Okay. How do I be all those things? Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Remember who Jesus is. Remember these before all things. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard of all the love that they have in the Spirit, we have not ceased to pray for you. Asking, and there's at least 11 things in here that he asks, look for them and pray these over yourself and your friends. Family. We've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. This one ought to hit maybe a lot of you. We have a tendency to want to be fully pleasing to ourselves or fully pleasing to our neighbors or to our friends. We don't want to rock the boat. We have what my old friend called non-rock the boatitis. Just don't want to. I mean, life's challenging enough. Can't we just be nice? Be kind. That's better. It's kind to be truthful. It's kind to be gracious. It's kind to be faithful. It's kind to be loveful. Nice means I just don't want to hurt your feelings. Jim, what was your dad's name? Bob Simon? When did he pass? When did he give his life to Jesus? You kept trying. Hallelujah. God is good. Thanks for not giving up. Be all these things. Yes, salvation and eternity relies on it, but it's what you were saved for. It's your purpose. Here we go. That you would be bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and for all endurance and patience with joy, just like Steve talked about. I've got patience, and I'm happy about it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You didn't earn it, but you can receive that inheritance. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When you say, I don't deserve it, you're absolutely right. If you're saying, I don't want it, that's a bad choice. And many of us have made that choice. All of us at one point have said, no, I don't deserve it. I don't want it. I don't think I need it. You ask people, hey, can I pray for you? No, I'm good. My daughter and I went to the Olive Garden, and that was outstanding, and I just thank you, Jesus, for soup. It was wonderful. But we're there, breadsticks, come on. Somebody else, what? No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is, we were there, and we were just there to eat. But I'm like, hey, man, we're going to get ready to pray right now. Can we pray for anything for you? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm like, I should have said, no, you're not. But that's really demeaning. And so I said, no, man, this is a good thing. He goes, no, man, my life is good. I'm like, sweet. I said, we're going to pray for you anyways. He goes, I appreciate it. And he goes, I'm going to do like a couple of laps and then I'll come back. And he came back and he started telling us things that we could pray for without knowing he was telling us things we could pray for. And I just told him at the end, hey, man, I'm going to just be thinking of you, Adam. I appreciate the good work you gave us. You're going to get a fat tip anyways, but here's the best tip. Jesus loves you and wants you. Oh, I know. I like I said before, I've been in and out of church. I'm like, sweet, keep going. Not so much to church, but keep going to Jesus. Listen, we've got redemption, forgiveness of sins, Don't keep it to yourself. And remember, all these things that we talked about, the be thankfuls and all that kind of stuff. I love that he wants him to remember these things. So I got one more full for you. Be mindful. Be mindful of who God is. Be mindful of what he's got for you. Be mindful of what he's done. Be mindful of the fact that he's filling you to overflow. When you remember whose you are, you start to do the things you never thought you could do. You start to say no to things you never thought you could say no to. God bless you, by the way. All the things that we need to be mindful of start with Jesus before all things. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He, it says in verse 15, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Superior, more important, muy importante. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. When we see Jesus, we see God. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is radical. I must keep going. But I want to ask you to consider this phrase throughout the week. Making peace by the blood of his cross. Do you have to fight for peace? People call it an oxymoron. People are like, fight for peace? That's not possible. That's like having sex for virginity. But it's not. Jesus had to pay for it, and you and I couldn't. He made peace by the blood of his cross. We'll finish with these three verses. Colossians 1:21 says, "In you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, dear Jesus, I'm thinking of people I love so much that are at this very moment hostile towards you, doing evil deeds, alienated from you, and I'm believing that they can and will be saved." I'm thinking of people right now that are actually saved, that are doing these things too, and may they turn quickly in repentance back to you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, I'll go all day long. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Holy, holy. Jesus has done this. Indeed, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I need to say this to you really quick. In Colossae, in Turkey, and you might remember, it wasn't very long ago, they had a massive earthquake. They've had earthquakes for a long, long time. They're on a fault line, and it's significant. Paul, being very creative, is saying, look, stay steadfast. Stay stable. Stay grounded in an earthquake-prone world. Some people have read this and thought, oh, wait, you can lose your salvation if you don't do the things you're supposed to do? No, you lose your stability if you don't do the things that you're supposed to do. Some people, though, need to hear this and go, am I actually saved? Because I really just don't want Jesus anymore. I kind of do. And if you kind of do, I'm not here to say you're saved or unsaved. I'm here to say, pay attention. If you're hearing from God right now, wait, I may not be blameless and above reproach and holy if I'm doing bad things. You guys, if I told you that the coffee that you drank today that you got from here had just a tiny bit of urine in it, you'd be like, well, I mean, there's an acceptable amount of urine in everybody's coffee. No, you wouldn't go intellectual. You'd be like, You guys, holiness is not something that's kind of holy. God isn't saying, look, I'd love for you to be above reproach if you feel like it. He's saying, come to me. Remember, you used to be gone. Now you're here. You used to be in the dark. Now you're in the light. You used to be dead. Now you're alive. Walk that out. Live that out. Share that. And you will not feel the stability if you don't. Well, everything's just so crazy around us. I know. Focus on Jesus, saint. And if you're not a Christian, today's your day. Be transformed by grace. If you are a Christian, you've been transformed by grace. Today's the only day you got. Yesterday might have been lame and a bunch of yesterdays before that, and you're fearing tomorrow, and that might have jail or whatever in it. But it's got Jesus. And today's your day. Walk that out. So how can you and I move towards Jesus? Ask him, first of all, for his insight. I'm not even a Christian. Well, I double dog dare you to ask God to open your eyes and your ears and your heart, and that you would allow yourself to do the same. And then if he's talking to you and he's calling you to believe, then you repent. You confess that he's the Lord and you're not. You repent. You turn back to him. You say, I believe that you paid for me. I needed you to do that. I need a Savior. I don't want this instability. I want to be steadfast. I want to be strong. I want to live these things out. I want to be prayerful and mindful and all the fulls. So start there. Ask him to help you, and he does. Ask other people. Some of you, you just need to go back, find that list. You can go on our app if you weren't able to see it on here. It's got all the fulls, and you need to live that out. And it's good. Remember that grace transforms you. Some of you, however, have been living this and believing this. And I want to ask you right now, especially over the next couple of weeks with elections and rhetoric and politics and fear mongering and all that. Share the good news that you believe. Look, I have a really short amount of time, like I'm past time, but we have so many of these printed out. Maybe people don't come to your house. Maybe you live out in an area that doesn't have these. Take some of these with you because it's got the good news on it. I want to share it for you. And at risk of people downstairs pulling what's left of their hair out, I will go quickly. Happy Halloween. Trick or treat. You know how it goes. We say trick or treat, but what we mean is treat. However, life isn't always treats. There's some tricks, and many of them are pretty rough. In this tricky world, we wanted to give you two treats, candy and the good news of Jesus, God's perfect son. The good news is summed up well in a very famous quote from Jesus found in John 3:16 in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you want to receive this love, it's as simple as an ABC prayer to God. A, admit to God that you aren't perfect and turn to his loving forgiveness and leadership. This is called repenting, turning away from sin and to God. And then in parentheses, I have 1 John 1:9. If anybody asks you what that is, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to purify you from all unrighteousness. B, believe in what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Remember John 3:16? C, confess. Confess that Jesus is your Lord. Romans 10:9. If you have any questions or are following this ABC prayer, we would love to connect with you at service on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45, or you can contact us here, or they can contact you because they got it from you. Maybe, just maybe, you'll feel weird giving this to somebody because you don't have candy with it. Tell them, look, I don't have candy, but I have something way better. But if you're able to have candy at your house, don't be chintzy. Go for it. Unless it's like a birthday celebration that you're trying to save money for or an anniversary, would you maybe make some sacrifices and buy some good candy? Turn some lights on. Say, come on up. We know the King. He's been waiting for you. Jesus, have your way in us, I pray. That's it. In your precious name, you're awesome. Amen.